You want to know the most important thing Jesus told me? That's what you want to know this morning? Well, while I used to be able to say it with everything so quickly and everything came to mind, and you know, remember the story I told you when Jesus came before us and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And I quickly said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." I didn't even really know what it meant. But now I don't say the first thing that popped into my head. So much has changed. He taught me so much, like a rabbi, yes, but not like the rabbis around here. He spoke of God, yes, but he took God's words and he made them come to life. He used things that we could see, sheep, fish, he bread, And then he didn't just make them come to life, they came to life for each of us. It was amazing. I struggle to understand still a lot of what he said. There was this one time that we were actually here. We were in Capernaum. And as soon as we had approached, one of the temple priests came up and grabbed me and said, Peter, does your rabbi, does he pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," I said quickly. I didn't really know. Later, Jesus pulled all of us aside and said, "Do you know why I pay the temple tax? I pay it because I don't want to do anything that brings offense to them." Offense to them? That's all they do to him. That's all they're trying to do is offend him. Why would Jesus not want to offend them? He just never wanted to do anything that would put a stumbling block in front of anyone. And then he told me, "Peter, I want you to go fish." I assumed it was because maybe he was hungry. And he said, no, go fish. And the very first fish you pull out of the sea, open its mouth and in it will be a coin. And use that coin to go pay the temple tax for you and for me. I followed him. Obviously, I went and cast my net out, and I cast my hook out, and it caught a fish, and I pulled it up. I mean, not expecting anything, and you won't believe what was inside the mouth of the fish. It was a coin. Like this. Just like this. I did turn it in. I didn't keep it, but I wanted to keep it. This was a miracle. This was proof. He was this living God. And plus, why would I want to give it to the temple priests? They were corrupt. They were doing nothing but hurting him. And wouldn't this be giving in, saying that they were right? I did not understand it. And then Jesus said one of those things. He says, "Peter, you forgive 70 times 7. Forgive them 70 times 7. The wrongdoing, it never was outside of the scope of his forgiveness. I didn't understand it. Later, we were in the region of Galilee, and Jesus had a lot of crowds around him at this point. And that all these children started gathering around him, and he said, like this, "Just come up." And we wanted the children to get away. And he said, "Oh no, to such as these, the kingdom of heaven belongs." And then one of the young men raised his hand to ask a question. And he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Why do you call me good?" And then he said, "Well, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" And he said, "You need to follow the commandments." And the boy was so excited. He said, "I have done these. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he was giddy with delight because he had been a rule follower. And then Jesus said, "But there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give those proceeds to the poor. For better to have treasures in heaven than treasures on earth." And the man, his shoulders fell, his face fell, because he was the rich man's son. And he had so many possessions, and he walked away. And then Jesus looked at us, and he said the strangest thing. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Come on, Jesus, we do not understand you. When we were there in Capernaum, you told us to pay the temple tax. They're already rich. Why are we contributing to those that are already rich? And now you're saying we need to have nothing. We left everything, man. We left everything and followed you. What are we supposed to give? He made absolutely no sense. And then he said, the last will be first, and the first will be last. I wanted to say, are you kidding? What does that mean? He keeps saying these things, and what we would try to do to understand is we would ask a question, then what would Jesus do? He would turn it around and ask us another question right back. And so eventually, we just faked it and acted like we knew what he meant. A couple days later, he had healed these two blind men in Jericho. Large crowds had gathered, and we were very close to Jerusalem, and he had told us where we were headed. Where he was headed, but we didn't grasp it. We didn't understand it at all. And he sent two of the disciples and said, I want you to go and get me a donkey. It's tied up at a house, and don't worry, the owner will let you have it. And at this point, this is when I began to step back, because I really didn't understand what was Jesus doing. He stood there, and there were crowds and thousands of people, and he taught them softly in parables and told them these words of hope. But what was the deal with the donkey? Then the two disciples return and they put that donkey in front of Jesus and he begins to get on it. And then they say, wait. You're not going to believe what one of the disciples did. He took off his cloak. This. I've told you about this. Do you know how long I had to wait for this? This was my status. This shows that I've arrived. This is the thing that, yes, keeps me warm and protected, but it also keeps me from the jeers. It keeps me from people thinking that I might just be that fisherman that's not educated. The cloak is so important. Did you know that there's a man in our village? He owes such a great debt, but he owns a cloak. And so what the debtor agreed to is that every morning he can come and he can give him his cloak. And he has to leave it with him all day long. So all day long, he has to walk around without any protection, without any status. And then each night, he can go grab it at sunset. It was a big deal now, and it was even a bigger deal when Jesus walked this earth. So you can imagine my surprise, my shock, my dismay. Why would they take off this and put it on some random donkey? Before I knew it, two disciples had done it. They laid it on top and helped Jesus up, and they were off. So I followed. We get close to downtown, and you can hear it. Oh my gosh, there's already crowds there. And they are shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Why are they shouting Hosanna? Save us! Save us! And as I approach, I see their faces, and there is this mix of utter desperation and hope. And the center was like a rug. It was lined with branches of palm and olives. And then I realized, oh my gosh, they think this is a king. They think this is a king. This is no fanfare. I mean, this is Jesus. He wouldn't want it like this. I mean, he's the Messiah, but I've said that, but not like this. And then they said, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And I thought, wait, that's that psalm. I learned when I was young, how do they know it? How does everyone know that psalm? Did everybody get taught that? They actually believed it. It wasn't that they even knew him, but they believed this was the Messiah. I said it. I proclaimed that he was, but did I believe it? You won't believe what happened next. A Pharisee stood in front of the donkey. A Pharisee. And we all were like, it's about to go down. He took off his cloak. He took it off. And he laid it on the ground. And then a scribe came and laid it on the ground. And then someone like me, an ordinary person, do you know how long that person would have waited? They laid it down. And so you ask me, what is the most important thing that Jesus taught me? It is to bring him glory. And so I laid my cloak down. Amen.